Well, welcome to today's Social Experiment podcast. This is a special event for us, a special episode. We're joined by David Galbraith of the New Life Gym. We'll be hearing a lot more from him. Thanks for joining us today. Mark, what do you think of this place?
I like it. I do like a bit of MMA. I don't practice it, never have, but I like watching it, and I like the whole philosophy behind it and everything. I'm just slightly concerned this light's going to be shining off my head. I'm not all right, but you know, I'm a bit worried about that.
I wasn't going to say.
If you get blinded, right, that's what it is.
I know. So yeah, we were reflecting on our common interests. We're all interested in martial arts from different perspectives, and we've all got a bit of an interest in that. And so it's, we were talking about sort of common interests and how that's often a way of connecting people. And so we were really excited to get you on here and to get your kind of unique perspective.
And actually sit in an MMA gym with bags swinging in the background.
Yep.
Do you want to quickly describe just for folk that are kind of...
Maybe it'd be better if David described. We're actually literally in a gym.
Yep, so... I'd like to think, obviously, I'm quite biased to that point of view, but I'd like to think that our gym itself is quite a unique home away from home. The whole kind of idea behind us was to build a good, welcoming environment where people can train martial arts, learn and develop themselves. And we've built it from scratch as such. We've built it from the ground up. Everything that's done in here, apart from the bags that have been stitched together on the pads, like we've painted the walls, we've put up the padding in the walls, we've laid the mats. It's like we've done all this in the community, as in the community and the New Life community, the New Life family. We've all built it together and seen it growing. It's still growing and we're still building it. So this building was actually originally a foundry. So they used to build like guns, ammunition and stuff like that in World War II. The buildings are roughly about 150 years old.
Brilliant.
And so it's got a really unique story behind it. Our landlord, he's an artist, so it used to also be an art studio as well, which was pretty cool. And he actually has an interest in martial arts. He was a boxer back in the day. He was a doorman, not your stereotypical artist as well, like absolutely lovely guy. And he then gave us the opportunity. We've seen this unit, we're like, we need this. So we've got two floors, fight academy upstairs, we've got this area down here which is more colourful, a bit more recreational, do a lot of kids training down here. And we've got other facilities, obviously, like your usual kind of toilets, mm-hmm. showers, strength and conditioning room, and we've got like a sports therapy studio upstairs as well. So we've got in a random kitchen.
Kitchen's actually really nice. It's not what you would expect in a gym, a really nicely fitted out kitchen.
One of the things I was connecting to what you were saying there was this idea of the community around the gym. And you know, we've talked on other podcasts about, you know, social influence, and you know, you hear a lot about tribe, you know, join the tribe and whatever. But and we've also talked a lot about authenticity as a theme. What I really like about what I hear and see around this gym is that it's kind of developed organically. It's not like you've forced a tribe. People want to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
I think it starts from like a vision or a dream or a visualization, and what you want that to become. And then for us, I think the organic approach to it was, it wasn't like we had like big investors or bank loans, and it wasn't that type of company. It was built from kind of passion, and the passion to pass on what we've learned, and the impact, the powerful impact martial arts had on our life, and pass that on and do it even better. So I would probably say it came from quite an authentic place. It wasn't a financially driven thing. And don't get me wrong, obviously we get paid for our work. That's brilliant. We're in a really privileged position to do that. But it came from a position of this idea. It was like, let's build this, let's create this. And although when I first started the journey, it was had next to nothing. I didn't have any money. In fact, I was at quite a troubled point in my life where I didn't have a job. I had to make a decision where I was going to go into a mundane job that I promised myself I would never go into again, or just take a chance and throw the dice and make it work. And that
does seem familiar, Mark.
It does.
Yeah. I think we've all been there,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's what I done.
The
I
best
like,
stories,
yeah,
though.
I'm like, make it work. Like, the other option's not a choice anymore. I took the choice away. And don't get me wrong, when you've got that mindset as such, you hit a brick wall sometimes, but brick walls can be smashed down. You can climb them over. Like, there's always a way. It's just, it's that resilience thing. You actually learn so much about how creative you can become when you take the choice away. It's like, it's sink or swim. It's like if someone's to throw you into a pool and you don't know how to swim, it's like, you better learn quick. Like, and that was business for me. Mm-hmm. But it was the same for martial arts with me. I got thrown on the mats with these guys and girls as well. It's like, they were smashing me. They were just absolutely smashing me. And I'm like, I need to learn quick here. Like, I need to learn quick because I don't like that feeling. I don't like the feeling of someone being on top of me, try to strangle me, try to punch me, try to elbow me. But I really liked the feeling of the fight, the combative element of it. I really flourished in that type of environment. So I just knuckled down, I got the head down and went, right, let's make this work. So these are all kind of things I've learned from martial arts.
I mean, maybe it's worthwhile pointing out for our viewers and our listeners that might not be familiar with what tell us a little bit about your credentials and your background, and give us a high level, because then people might be interested in connecting to that.
Yep. So I was into kickboxing and stuff like that. I was never particularly great at school. I struggled with school in a lot of ways, and I found martial arts a really good outlet for me. When I was 18, actually, I was viciously attacked. I was almost killed. I was stabbed 5 times. And I was stabbed in the neck and the head and the hip, and I had to get like an emergency operation and stuff like that. And that then transitioned into, I decided I was going to dedicate my life to martial arts so that didn't happen again. And I decided I wanted to become a professional MMA fighter, and that's what I wanted to do. And I seen the possibilities in that and the opportunities it could create. And from there, I started traveling the world. I started going to Asia and different parts of America. Auditioned for the UFC a few times. Had a lot of amazing opportunities, and had quite a successful career as a pro MMA fighter. That then naturally transitioned into the business side of things. I'd trained at a gym and things weren't working out. Kind of relationships broke down with my coach at the gym at that time. And I never really had other kind of options as such, other places that I could go and train. So, and that's when my professional fighting career, I went, I'm going to build my own fight team. I'm going to create my own fight team. And that naturally transitioned into, obviously, I'm going to create my own business. I'm going to build my own business. And now at this point, I still compete in jiu-jitsu. I'm retired as a pro MMA fighter, but I do a lot of work coaching now. So I'm a coach. I coach amateurs and professionals, and I specialise now in working with kids, the kids who were like me in school, who were maybe struggling with the school system, they're struggling with the school environment, and I'm not only giving them the outlet of martial arts, it's giving them the more advanced level than maybe what I was getting from it. It's like advancing on it. It's a progression, mm-hmm. a natural progression mm-hmm. of it.
And I can vouch for David's training methods. My little boy Felix comes to his Saturday morning classes, and they're smashing. I often watch from the sidelines. And what I really like about the classes are it's not just the physical aspect. It's, how would you describe it? It's the social boundaries, and
social,
it's about
big thing. Social's huge. Relationships. Felix is brilliant. He's such a good kid, and teaching him to ask questions. But I don't need to teach Felix that. Felix has given me like some really, really good questions. Teaching him to ask questions. Teaching him to be inquisitive. But also like the social thing's huge. The social thing is it's teaching them like how to deal with problems in relationships. It's like with kids a lot of the time, it's like they bump into each other, bang each other, and sometimes as adults we don't appreciate how big their problems are because they seem so small to us in our kind of big distant world. It's like their wee social problems are just as important, if not more important, than ours. So I've got a big emphasis on that, is really taking the time and care and listening and going, kid might come up and go, oh, do you know what, I banged my knee today because this kid pushed me, and it's easy as an adult with our stresses and bills I've got to pay to go, right, off, you don't know anything about my problems. It's like, no, wait a minute, like, I sit down and go, right, I'm really sorry to hear that, what can I do to help and help them overcome those little social obstacles as such. Yeah.
And it's tempting as well to say, that's not sore. That's not sore.
Yeah.
When actually it is sore for them, or, you know, oh, you know, this will be okay, when sometimes life's not okay.
Exactly. Exactly. And having these conversations, and when I'm interacting with these kids as well, I understand like that's a relationship. It's like, it's not just like I'm the coach and I tell you what to do and I expect you to do this. It's like, it's not like that. Like I don't believe in that. And I try my best. I don't think I raise my voice at the kids. I probably like bring the tone of my voice down or up. I don't shout at them. I certainly try not to get angry with them. But it's like maintaining those relationships with those kids and going, right, I'm not just someone here to tell you how to punch and kick. It's like we're engaged with each other here. It's like we're getting to know each other, just like as we're getting to know each other here just now. It's like really interacting in that relationship and going, right, cool, like how can we help each other here? Like what's the best way? But how can we learn from each other? And that's one thing also we forget as well. I think it's something that's been highlighted in the press, whether you're for it or against it, with this young girl with the climate change side of things. Like, regardless of what way you look at it, it's definitely a learning experience. And every time I interact with a kid, I learn. I think we forget as adults that we were kids as well one time. Mm-hmm. We get really detached from that. It's like staying connected to that is such a powerful thing, and going, right, okay, right, we are still connected. I was a kid, I've got the experience here, like I can help you not make the same mistakes as me, but actually you can teach me stuff, because we obviously we get programmed through our life and start learning things on a subconscious level that we say or that we do that we forget about, and it's quite automated as well. Kids are like, they're more pure in that sense, where they'll maybe say something or do something, or maybe they'll challenge what you've got to say, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I could be wrong here. Mm-hmm. Like, or they might say something really insightful. So I learned so much working for kids, especially the kids who I work with who are maybe having what would be called behavioural issues in schools, or they're maybe struggling with the school system. It's like the education I've got from working with those kids has been so concentrated. But it's the same as like combat as well. It's like when you get into combat, it's like a vacuum of education. It's like it really pushes it. It's like when you're in a fight with somebody, it's like at that sink or swim thing, it's like you better learn quick, because there's not much room for error here. And I don't believe there is much room for error when you're working with kids. You're not going to get it right first time every time, but you need to try and get it right as much as you can, because
and admit to them when you got it wrong.
Exactly.
It's so important for kids to hear that.
And that comes, exactly, that's really important. And that, again, that comes from martial arts and transitioning skills from martial arts into coaching. You know,
one of the themes of our podcast over the weeks has been this idea of authenticity. And you know, if you're not being honest with yourself, it's going to show up in martial arts, right? And it's 100%. Going to show up with your kids.
Yep.
People struggle with that. How come people struggle to be honest about their failures and about their...
It hurts. It hurts, man. Like, it's painful.
What, to admit it or to experience failures?
I would say a bit of both, because when you experience a failure, I was speaking to one of my guys about this last night, you experience a failure or a shortcoming within yourself, whether it's in your own psychology or your own behaviours, you have to relive that. Like, I've seen like fights, like after I've got beat, it's like, to actually go back and watch that fight, it's like, you need to sit and criticise yourself and look at your failures and your shortcomings. Like, that is... for me, I know that's tough. Obviously, you get better at it the more you do it. But I think for your insecurities or your failures to be highlighted and put out there or show them, or for you to bring them out and go, look, here they are. Like, I think the failure and the loss can hurt, and actually showing it and going, right, here it is as well. It's like you're almost reliving it.
So, see, you know, we live in a world where we live in the world of the participation medal for kids. So they do school sports, everybody gets a gold star, well done.
Yeah. Right?
And when I was growing up in the 70s and the 80s, you know, you had to work hard. If you wanted to get that wee, whatever it was at school sports, you had to work hard. Do you think that that martial arts, like kids being involved in martial arts and recognising that you're not always going to win, you do need to make improvements, you need to put work in a fight or whatever it is in training, is going to stand them in better stead as adults? They're not going to be as entitled, maybe, you know, to win at everything.
Personally, I think for most kids that would be the case. For most, I would probably say about 90-95% kids, I think that's the case, that learning how to lose is a great thing, and it's something when I teach or when we get into competition side of things with kids, I'm like, right, somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose, but it's being there and showing them how to lose, it's like teaching them. Mm-hmm. When I say the other 5%, there is obviously some kids who are facing bigger challenges than we could ever possibly understand, and sometimes a loss to them feels like the end of the world. But at that point, sometimes the support they're needing is a bit more specialised. Right.
But there is well to experience that when they're young. There's not really a lot. Obviously, in their world, it seems that there's a lot riding on it, but in the scheme of things, there's not. Rather than not dealing with it when they're young and then becoming adults who can't handle things not going their way.
Yep.
I'm reminded of a clip I've been following, a guy called Matt Thornton, is it? It's a straight blast gym. And he posted something around, it was a kids' competition. And do you see this? And the guy that was hosting the competition said, look, some folk are going to win today, some folk are going to lose. And he's addressing the parents and he's saying, look, don't take your kid aside and say, you know, it was a mistake that you didn't win today, or, you know, gave him all the possible excuses and addressed them all. Like, don't say, it was your belt that was loose or whatever the thing was, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got beat today, it just means that the other person, you know, bested you that day, and like, what can you learn from it? I thought that was a really cool lesson.
Yeah, it went viral, and it was something a few people actually shared with me as well, and obviously it's relatable to the work that I do, but I probably agree with everything that he said on that. I think it's such a powerful lesson, is learning how to lose, and if you don't get that early in childhood and you're trying to learn it as an adult, it can be a hell of a lot more difficult, because I'd say we're less pliable in terms of actual to changing these things,
definitely,
in terms of our own mindsets, and it can to change that mindset can be a much more painful experience. It's obviously person to person, but
we started a conversation over coffee another time about whether martial arts is necessarily good for teaching personal development, and I can see a lot of folk that teach martial arts and claim that it's going to be good for personal development, but really they're just hitting people about, and it's like there's martial arts, they're claiming personal development, but the two are not integrated. But of course, martial arts can be really useful for teaching, you know, tenacity, goal setting, you know, dealing with failure and what. So what do you think's the secret sauce? What's the ingredient that you need to make out of the martial art, the personal development?
I think there's many different ways to answer that. I think the bread and butter's the coach. Like, anybody can say they teach martial arts, but if you've got bad intent behind that, then you're not really going to be a good coach. So if your intent is just in controlling, dominating people and hurting people, then I don't really think that's you'll develop, but you'll get good at doing those things. In fact, you might not, because that person's behaviour towards you isn't going to be a nurturing one. Like, it's not going to be a nurtured environment. I think it's like the intent of the coach, obviously the knowledge of the coach, and then from there, obviously it's the environment that you're training in as well, not just the aesthetics of it, but the people that are within that environment. Is it nurtured? Are you going to get the most from it? And is the information you're getting actually correct as well? Like, that's a big thing. Like, there's so much stuff out there.
Bunkum.
Yeah.
You keep using that word.
I'm going to get it back in the mainstream.
You get a t-shirt.
Bunkum and snake oil. There's so much of it about it. And it's in my field, leadership development and kind of professional psychology, there's so much bunkum. And it's good to test things, check things, question it. And I know you'll have this approach in martial arts, because if you don't, then there's a lot of mysticism that starts to develop, right? Oh. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how this approach and your kind of, I guess it's a personal philosophy, has developed, not just in your business, but you're also taking it to work with kids in a wider context now.
As in terms of how how it's transitioning or where it's going? Well, I'd say in terms of my own philosophy and how that's kind of went into the structure of the business and how it's going out, I'd like to see that part of my philosophy is actually seeing that my work is having a benefit on the community and society. So that's when I had a real probable revelation, I would say, a few years ago, is actually finding, obviously evaluating, talking about that evaluation thing, seeing where you're at, seeing what's right, seeing what's honest. And I had this kind of caught a revelation when actually I wanted to find out what my real purpose was in this life. I'm quite a deep thinker anyway, and what my purpose was. And I looked at nature for a lot of that. Like, I looked at nature and looked at, like, animals and bees and other humans and stuff like that, and it really intrigued me. And that's when I started getting into a lot of kind of the education side of things and developing myself. And I really found that to fulfil my purpose in my life is to have a positive impact on community and society. And that's why I do a lot of work in schools now, is actually like going out there and having that positive influence. And also longer term as well is actually building on that and making it bigger. I mean, ideally for me, and I spoke about this kind of idea a few times, and I'm actually heading towards it, much like when I built my gym, my academy, our academy. This is mine, my wife's, our extended family, the coaches here. I'm not like the boss of it. It's like, it's ours as such. Obviously I need to take a leadership position in that sometimes, but my next vision is to create an actual school as such, where we can actually, like the kids I'd spoke about, the kids that I work with, the kid like me who wasn't functioning in that system, I wasn't, you could argue whether that wasn't designed for me or I wasn't designed for that, is to actually create that school that school with not just my philosophies, our philosophies, the like-minded people who are invested in building that kind of that better.
And you're already doing work in schools. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So the work I'm doing in schools just now is basically, I got kicked out of class sometimes, but basically the kids who we would see who got kind of kicked out of class, like if you remember back in school, there was always like one or two kids, and obviously they deal with it different now. So I get like those kids who are struggling in class, and I've got them all in one class. So again, when I was thrown into that situation, like, here's all those kids, like, deal with it. And it's like sink or swim time, and it's like learn quick. So now what I do is help those kids deal with the issues and challenges that they're facing, whether it be social issues, whether it be aggression's a big part of it. It's like aggression's a really good way to cover up your insecurities. So you're talking about those failures that you experience. Kids are facing these failures in life and in school every day, so a good way to cover it up and have that insecurity kind of brought up is like to be aggressive, and that's where I come in, because obviously being from a combative world, it's like,
can you just put them in a bulldog choke? <I've done it? laughs>
Not quite. No, maybe the first session. but it's shown them how to kind of control their aggression, control your behaviours with their anger, and maybe showing them like some of the violent behaviours aren't the way to go. So I'm working with kids who are maybe struggling with the mainstream structure, they maybe got things going on at home. They're just struggling. A lot is coming out as aggression. Actually worked recently, it's a fascinating story, this one. I worked recently in Campbelltown. I got a phone call from a teacher, deputy head. These boys had formed a fight club, so like,
but you can't talk about it.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, ah, well, it's not a very good fight club, exactly. Is it?
So that's now everybody knows about it.
I was like, right, this really intrigued me, and it was a bit far out. It's like 3.5 hour drive for most people. For me, I've only started driving this year, and my wee Corsa that recently digested it failed its MOT. I need to get a new car. It took me about 6 hours to get there, so the first time. So I was like, no, I need to do this. And it's a lot of personal reasons. I was drawn to Campbelltown. It's connected to my missus and her family and stuff. It's just a really beautiful place. And I was really fascinated by, just, I don't know, it just captured me. And I was like, I need to get involved with this. And I went, well, you came to the right place. I actually specialise in this. Like, she understood that they needed an outlet and they needed somewhere to channel that. And I went, well, this is what I do. It's like, I don't just teach this, like, I teach it in depth. So I went out, delivered the session, first session, and in my session, I'm like, can't see any behavioural issues. Like, they were not much better. They were in an environment that was suited more to them. There was no behavioural issues at all.
So there's nothing to buck against or kick against because it was suited to them?
Yep, so they were... And the situations like this kind of, for me, I can see it firsthand, but it quantifies what I'm saying here. Is like they're struggling in different areas of school, social situations, environmental situations. But to look it in the face, it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful school. They've had a lot of money. They've just built it. The facilities are phenomenal, like stuff that I've never had exposure to. As a kid, at least, maybe in my adult life, yeah, just phenomenal facilities, but it's the issues are social and behavioural. So, but when we're practicing martial arts, guess what? No violence, no aggression, no confrontation, no cheek, no disrespect. If you want to call it that.